Emmanuel, what a name that Jesus came to be born and to dwell with us. It tells us in Scripture that his name would be Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, and he is all of those things to us. Amen. And what a great time it is that we can come and anticipate what he has done for us. You know, I can't imagine but think that we're not probably too much different right now than it was some 2,000 years ago when Christ was born. You see, they were in the middle of turmoil. They were in the middle of distress. They had been longing through prophecy of someone coming to be king. They expected him to come and to be an earthly king for many of them. But you know, in our day and time, you know, let me just bring it a little closer to home for me. Now imagine for you, there is turmoil in this world today. We go through things that are just so disturbing, things that distress us, things that cause us grief, things that causes us pain. But you know, because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and our faith in him, in the middle of our turmoil, we can have peace. Today, that's what I want to talk about, is having peace in the middle of turmoil. I can say that because I know in my life, I have visited with many of you, and I can look around the world and tell that it's full of turmoil and that there is unrest all around us. Amen. And what I want to talk about today is a peace, an inner peace. Not the peace like the world talks about, or not a happiness that comes and goes. You know, happiness fluctuates with what we're going through. But do you want to have real hope and real peace on the inside? And I'm talking about a peace that so comes inside of us through whatever turmoil you or I may be going through, that the peace comes out of us as well. Overflowing peace. So this morning, I want to take just a few moments to look at the life of Jesus Christ and what he did in probably the most tumultuous time in his life here on earth, and see through his example some practices that we can bring into our life off of his example, that we may have peace on the inside. As we continue moving through Advent and through this year, looking at the stories that are in the Bible that point us to being able to trust in God. The next story in line as we've been working our way through is Jesus has made his way to the Passover feast, and he's gone in to Jerusalem. He's come out and he's healed Lazarus. Well, today we're going to look at this time in Jesus' life after he went in and he had the Passover meal with his disciples. He did what we call instituting the Lord's Supper. And then he went out of Jerusalem, down across the Kidron Valley, over to the Mount of Olives. And on the base of the Mount of Olives is a place called Gethsemane. Would you stand with me this morning? Have your Bibles as you're standing there. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 26, we're going to be beginning in verse 36. Jesus, as I said, has now made his way over. He's brought his disciples into this garden. And let's pick up Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Let me just pause there. The two sons of Zebedee would be James and John. And then it says, and began to be grieved and distressed Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Father God, this morning, Lord, I stand here and I ask, Father, that you would open our eyes and our hearts, Father, to understand, to see the truth in your word. And Father, Lord, that you would help us to be able to take that truth and to respond to it and to move it into our hearts. Speak to us. Father, speak through me this morning beyond my ability. Father, for I am your messenger. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You may wonder, why would I pick this kind of passage when we're in the middle of Christmas? Well, we know Jesus was what? He was born to come to die. Why would I pick a passage that talks about Jesus being in turmoil and agony and distress when we're talking about peace today? Because I believe that you will see as we work through this today that Jesus, in the midst of his turmoil, had peace. Why do I say that Jesus was in turmoil? Jesus has come to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is at the base of the Mount of Olives. And he has come in there because he is grieving, because in his flesh he feels pain. In his flesh he feels rejection. In his flesh he feels everything that you and I feel. In his flesh he can feel anticipation. But he wasn't just human, but he was also God. Jesus knew what was coming for him. In just a few moments after he got up and began to walk, he was making his way to his friend, Judas, who was coming to hand him over for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave, to hand his friend over to the religious leaders who were going to take him and throughout the night began to put him on trial, began to mock him, and in just hours, all of his friends would turn against him. In just hours, he would be beaten. We might would say today he was beaten beyond a pulp, as that whip would go around and just grab his flesh and rip it off. Within moments, he would be paraded like some circus clown down through the streets of Jerusalem, bleeding out while people are mocking him, all the way headed to the cross that he knew was going to cause pain because of his humanity he felt every time the hammer hit the nail that went through his hands. Every time the hammer hit the nail that went through his feet, he would feel. Being God, he knew what was coming. He knew that there would be that moment that all the weight and all of the penalty of the sins of the entire world would fall on him, an innocent man, and he would pay that. So I believe he was in turmoil and agony, knowing what was coming. He was God. He could have just said, call the angels like they said, they'd have come. But he knew that for you and for me to have hope, to have peace, to have joy, to have love, we have to have a relationship with Christ, and there was one way. So I believe there is a battle going on within Jesus, if I can use that word, between his flesh and between his humanity and his deity. But what do we understand? What did Jesus do? That's what I want to show you, what Jesus did to have peace in the middle of his turmoil in his life. I believe the first thing we see is in verse 36. Let me read that to you again. It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, believe the first thing is Jesus had, and for us, you must have a regular place of meeting with God. In your life, you must have a regular place for meeting with God. When you get into distress, when you get into turmoil, is not the time to decide maybe you want to have a conversation with God. It should be something that happens regular in your life, and I believe that we need a specific place that we go to on a regular basis to meet with God. We know Jesus did that several places he goes. When we look over in John 18:2, let me read this to you. This is talking about Judas, who was getting ready to betray Jesus in 18:2. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, what? Knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. This wasn't just something out of the ordinary. Oh, let's go to the Mount of Olives today and pray. He had a regular place when he was in that area. He would go there to find rest. He would go there to find solitude. He would go there to be with his disciples. But mostly he would go there to spend time communicating with the Father, praying to the Father. What is praying? But it is a relational conversation. You see, to have a relationship, it's not just whenever. Well, many of you in this room have been married before. How would your relationship with your spouse be if you talked to them, every 6 months or every now and then or only time something happened? They would probably be there. They would probably hear. But the intimacy and the connection is not there unless you have that relationship, and you have to work on that. And Jesus, being all God, was also man. We see all through Scripture that wherever he was at, there were certain places that he would go to, because he knew that he had to come and to be with the Father. Why is it so important? Can't I just pray driving down the road? Yes, you can. Can't I just pray wherever I'm at? Yes, you can, and you should do all these things. But let me tell you, I wholeheartedly believe that you need a specific place that you go to on a regular basis. Why do I say that? It's to do with your mind. You see, I have a specific place that I go to study and prepare. When I go into that area, my mind and my body knows I am here to study, to prepare, and to meet with God. And in life, when there is so much turmoil, you know, there is times in our life that there is so much turmoil that it's hard to pray, amen? We can all agree with that, I think. But if there is this regular place that I go to, and when I go there, I meet with God on a regular basis. When my life is in turmoil and I can't seem to get that prayer out, if I go to that regular place, my mind and my body is going to know this is where I meet with God. And it will begin to open up avenues in your life to meet with God. A regular time and a regular place of meeting. It's different for everyone. It might be beside your bed. It might be in the living room. It might be somewhere, but somewhere where you can get alone. And on a regular basis, you meet with God there. And you know what else happens? Not only does your mind and your body begin to kick into gear when you get there, when you go in that place, God knows that you're here to meet with Him. And I promise you, He will meet with you. And He will be there with you. Not only is it to have a regular place of meeting with Him, but I believe also that you need to have a few close friends that you can share with and pray with you. Look at verse 2. And He took with Him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Verse 38, then He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me." Jesus had a bunch of disciples. He had 12 apostles. But we see throughout Scripture that Jesus had three close friends, Peter, James, and John. In the most agonizing time of Jesus' life, He went to the place where He would meet with the Father. The disciples came with Him, but then it's telling us in Scripture that He got His three closest friends, and He took them a little bit further. And He shared probably one of His weakest times. I'm going to say that if I can about Jesus. He was distressed. He was in turmoil. So He took His three closest and He shared with them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." He shared with them. He said, "Now you stay here. And you watch, you stay awake, you stay alert." I believe He was probably maybe even saying, you know, just be on the alert, pray. They didn't have to know all the detail, but He shared with them the most intricate part. And then He went away and He prayed. You see, in our life, if you don't have one or two or three, not a whole bunch, I guarantee you, it's proven in most life, most people don't have many deep, true friends. They say if you have one deep, true friend, that you're rich. You need in your life, men, you need men in your life, one or two close friends. Ladies, you need ladies in your life, one or two close friends. And I say men need the men and ladies need the ladies, because this is a close relationship. It is going to be a deep and an intimate relationship that you can go to. Regardless of the hour of the night, you can call and you can send that message, and that one's going to be there with you. They're going to listen to you. They're going to pray with you. They are not going to judge you. It's not going to change the way they look about you. This takes time. And it takes work to find this kind of relationship. But you need those one or two people that when you are in distress, when you are in turmoil, or as Jesus says, that you are deeply grieved, to the point of death, not physical death necessarily, but there are times in our life that we feel like death would just be the better option. And we need those people in your life. If you want to have peace, you need those people who can get on their knees with you, physically there with you, not there with you, but wherever they're at, that you can share what's going on. It tells us over in Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. It doesn't sound right. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 12 talks about that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Next slide, please. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. You need those that can be there to help you. You can need that one that you can count on that's going to pray with you. Because, church, let me tell you, when you're in turmoil, when you're in this type of distress, if you haven't ever been there, you will one day. There are times that it's hard to pray. And let me tell you what, the first thing you want to do when you get into a situation like this, the first thing, the human instinct to do is to withdraw and get alone. And that is the biggest mistake that you can make, because that's where Satan wants you. He wants you alone so that he can fight you and he can take you down. You want peace in the middle of the storm of life? You need that place to go to regularly that's already there. It's not time to decide in the middle of conflict. You need that one or two friends that you can come to, that you can call and you can share with them what's going on, knowing that there's no judgment and that they're going to get on their faces, they're going to fall down with you, and they're going to be praying for you. But also, you need to have prayer with God until he answers your prayer. I want to repeat that again. You need to have prayer with God until he answers your prayer. And I'm going to promise you, I will guarantee you, according to God's word, the truth is he will answer your prayer. He might say yes, exactly what you want. But we also know he might say what? Not right now. And the one none of us like is he might say no. Amen? He might say no. But he will answer your prayer. Why in the world would God say no to my prayer? Because it's not what's best for you, and it's not what's best for his kingdom. Let's look here at Jesus' life. Told him that he was deeply grieved. Verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. In 44, he left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Jesus, in his humanity, was struggling with what he knew was coming. He was in turmoil. He was in anguish. Three times within a matter of a short span of time, he goes to the Father in agony and he drops on his face and he asks God to don't let this happen. if there's any other way. Other gospels tell us that he was so grieved that he was praying in so much fervency and agony that his sweat became like drops of blood. And it's scientifically proven that someone can be in so much agony, in so much grimace on their face, that it breaks the capillaries around the sweat glands and blood will actually come out with their sweat. That's how much anguish Jesus was in. He goes to the Father three times basically asking, can you take this cup away? What is this cup? It's the pain and it's the suffering that's coming. It's his death that's coming. God, if there's any other way, three times. You can't just pray once and give up on it. If you want peace on the inside, you go to God and you pray to God. And you keep praying and you keep praying until he gives you a clear answer. Yes, maybe so, or no. And we see here that Jesus went several times to his friends and they were tired. They wasn't in as much anguish as he was. But look there at verse 41. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have it highlighted in my Bible. It says, keep watching and keep praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That watching and praying is what's called, and I know you don't necessarily care about this, but you need to. It's called a present imperative. It's a command, but it's a command with continuous and repeated action. Jesus, in his agony and what he's going through, he's going to the disciples and he's saying, wake up, guys. Turmoil is coming. Distress is coming. You in your life need to keep praying and keep watching because what? The devil is out there and he's real. Let me tell you. He'll get up on your back and cling to you like some monkey or a koala or something. He won't let go. And he is watching and he's waiting for the prime opportunity to step in and cause you turmoil and distress. And Jesus is telling you need to keep watching. Don't ever give up. Keep watching, keep looking, keep praying. He says, why? That you may not enter into temptation. Let me tell you what this temptation he's talking about here is being proven. You see, I'll be the first one to tell you. Well, second Bible tells you. Temptation is not a sin. Oh, how do I know that? The Bible tells us Jesus was tempted. The Bible also tells us Jesus never sinned. Temptation comes upon in life to grow us. It proves where our faith is. It proves where our trust is. You see, Satan knows your weak spots. I can assure you, he's had all your life and many more years than that to learn where people's weak spots are. And he knows when the prime opportunity, when you stop watching and when you stop praying and you stop paying attention because you think you've got it whooped, yeah, you're fixing to get a whooping all right because he's going to come on you. And you need to stay with God. You need to be seeking God for those answers until he answers you. Why did he say to keep watching? Any of you in this room who are a believer in Christ, the more you mature in Christ, the more your spirit is willing to do what God wants. Amen? The more your spirit is willing to be in alignment with God. But he says right there, the spirit is willing, but this old flesh is weak. And it can raise its ugly head, and it can bring turmoil. But Jesus kept praying. He went to him three times. Where did Jesus get the peace? Jesus got his peace when God answered his prayer. And he told him, no. I cannot take this cup from you. He knew God knows what's best for his plan. In his kingdom's sake. If God would have took that cup from Jesus, none of us would be sitting in this room today. every one of us today would be bound straight to hell, which is a real place, burning, as we describe it, with fire and brimstone, no relief. It's a place with the absence of the full presence of God. It's darkness, the opposite of what God is. That's agony. God wanted a relationship with us. So he told Jesus no. And Jesus understood that God's ultimate will must be done. Jesus understood that God's will is the perfect plan. Why do I say Jesus had peace? You don't see the word in there. Let's look at verse 45 and verse 46, and we'll see. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." He says it right there. The hour's at hand. God's told him no. God told him this has to be done. Now is the time. So Jesus has prayed to God. We get recorded here of three times. God has given the answer. Jesus resolves himself to God's answer. He gets up. So much that he goes over and tells the guys that are there snoring away, "Wake up, let's go." And he turns and he begins heading for the very one who's going to betray him. Because he had peace on the inside, he had resolved to God's will. You see, God answers your prayer when God says no. Then we need to continue praying to God until he changes us. That's where peace comes from. Jesus didn't want to, in his flesh, go through the pain, the torture, the ridicule, the turning of the backs. He didn't want to do that. But he had peace that it was God's will, and he had resolved to be obedient to that. Church, if you want peace in your life, you need to resolve to what God's will is, because the Bible tells us that God's will is perfect. God knows who you are. God loves you, and God has an ultimate plan for your good. Because you see, because Jesus was obedient in the flesh, the Son of God, he went to the cross to save all of humanity. He went into that tomb, but guess what? Praise the Lord. He didn't stay there. Amen? Can I get an amen? He didn't stay there. God was pleased and accepted that offer of sacrifice. He raised him out of the grave to prove that, because he is now a living Lord and Savior. Jesus now sits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the throne beside his Father. We now have a relationship with him. You see, peace is not always about everything being perfect. Jesus still went through pain. He still went through torture. He still went through agony. But he had an inner peace because he had a place that he went to regularly to meet with his Father. He had a few close friends that he could share with what was on the deep inside. And he prayed until the Father answered. And then the Father changed him. Changed his heart. That's what happens to us. We have to have, church, if you want peace, I promise you this will work. If you want peace, you have to have a place you go regularly. And you meet with God in prayer, in conversation, relationship. You have some friends that are close, as hard as it is, that you share with them so that they'll pray for you. And then when you fall on your face and you pray until you know God has given you an answer, and then you resolve to be in his will, I don't care what you go through. If he doesn't remove it, you will have peace beyond peace, knowing that you are in the will of the Father. That's peace. That's true inner peace. And it's only possible through what Christ did. It's only possible with a relationship with him. May you bow your heads this morning. Father, this morning, Lord, you know far better than we do the world that we live in. Father, you know the turmoil that we go through. Father, you know the anguish that we deal with. Father, you know the anxieties that we have. That, Father, Lord, you sent your Son so that we could have peace. We have peace through faith in you. Father, we understand that it's your will at work and that we need to resolve to you. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that if there is someone in this room today that doesn't have that personal relationship with you, Father, they have no hope, they have no peace. Father, would you call them today? Holy Spirit, would you convict them today? Would you put them in turmoil until they receive you? Father, that they could just surrender their life to you, receive your hope, to receive your peace. Father, those that are here today, that Father, that are dealing with this turmoil, dealing with this anguish of something in their life. Father, I pray that they would take and put this into action, Lord, and that, Father, you would supply them that peace, Father, that just, it calms the storm. Still going through it, but you're going through it with us. And, Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand where you are? I want to share something with you that goes along with this idea of peace and being in the will of God that I've been reading and studying some on. I want you to know today that there is a fact in the Bible that tells you nothing happens without going through the hands of God. Now, let me put a little caveat on that, because I can see in some of your minds now you're going to go out and say, preacher said that God causes all things to happen. I did not say that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But everything that happens goes through God's hands. So if something is happening in your life, you can know today that God, for whatever reason, has allowed it. What we must do is to look and see why it's allowed. But let me add this that I just read. God also limits. Satan don't have free reign. God may allow it, but he limits it. You can have peace knowing that whatever's going on, he's there. You look to him. He's walking through it with you. Sometimes sin brings anguish in our life, but we can learn through that. What is it that God is allowing that you need to see? Just get you to bow your heads one more time. I just want to say this prayer over you. Father God, this morning, Lord, I stand here in the faith and the assurance of your word. Father, there's nothing that happens without it passing through you. Father, we also know that you limit it. Father, what I pray for those here today, Lord, those listening, those that are watching, Father, in my life, is help us to see what it is that you're doing in our life by allowing this to happen. And Father, may we surrender into your will and into your way. And Father God, I just pray everything in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want to give you just a moment. The altars are open. If Holy Spirit is speaking to you, if you would just make